You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist here at LA Talk Radio, as we do every Friday at this time. Yes, we do a lot of stuff on relationships, and I help answer your problems. You can write me. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. I have special guest hosts who I'm going to be talking about today as well in moments. So if you'd like to contact me here, or if you have questions about relationships, stuff like that, you can, first of all, find out about me on my website. It's drmichelletherapy.com, D-R, it's abbreviated, drmichelletherapy.com. That's T-H-E-R-A-P-Y. Took me a while to learn how to spell therapy, too. Took me about 10 years. And what else? You can write me if you have any questions or problems or comments or questions. As I said about the show, you can write me on my professional email address, which is docmichelle, D-O-C, Michelle, at AOL.com. Of course, here we always talk about relationships and or problems and or fears and or phobias and or anything in the world you want to talk about. You can give me a call live on the air in beautiful Studio City, the hub of media in all of the world. That's where we're at. 323-203-0815. That's the 323 area. 203-0815. But you can sure call and ask questions and make comments and all that. But I have a special guest co-host today, and I've known her for, God, it's been almost like 9 years, Tara, right? Tara McNamara.
It's been a while. Maybe 5 years. But yeah. it feels like nine.
It does. Good old friends. Young old friends.
Thank you.
We work together in broadcast radio, and I won't mention the station here because we're all about internet. Yeah. And Tara had her own morning show, and I was doing middays or something at the time, and we just kind of clicked and started hanging out, and so here we are, you know, like 5 years later. And Tara actually has been working for the past 3 years as the host of a Playboy radio talk shows. And she's a relationship expert, I would say, right?
Thanks, thank you. I became an expert while doing the show. The show was, it was called Playdate, and it was it was a game show.
Yes.
But it was where guys would show off their dating skills, show give us examples, show us their dating skills to compete to become, you know, the master dater. And then a woman would judge, and we would tell them what they were doing right and what they were doing wrong.
Right,
and
right.
And so in talking to so many women and hearing so many guys' attempts at romancing women, I learned so much. And yeah, I would say now I am an expert. I am ready to tell any guy what he is doing right or wrong, or, you know, when he has a question of why isn't this working. I can tell you.
What I think is so funny is that the show was and still is more oriented towards guys, because we women know what we're doing. Not. We all know how to act and behave on it. No, never mind. But I mean, it's true. I think more guys, you know, come to my office or call me or write me. More guys have questions about how do I approach a woman, or how do I come? I feel like a jerk. I'm insecure. My self-esteem. I don't know. What do you think? I just get that from more guys.
Well, I think there's a reason.
Yeah.
Because in the last, I would say 10 years especially, things have changed.
Yeah.
And if you're going to, you know, if you're, let's say, a 40-year-old guy.
Right.
And you see a 28-year-old There's going to be more problems than just the age gap, because the expectations and what a girl wants
right.
out of a relationship now, and does she even want a relationship,
right.
is
right.
far different than it was 20, 30 years ago. So
exactly.
if a guy is like, oh, okay, so you're in your 40s or 50s and you want to date a woman who's in your 40s and 50s, go
yeah.
by the playbook.
Right.
The old playbook is probably still good. The women who are in their 20s now are just more independent.
Right.
They can... You know, you think about how all this started, right? Like women wanting a guy who had a stable job and made a lot of money. And well, that, there was a reason, because
right.
women didn't have jobs.
Exactly.
And they couldn't get
exactly.
jobs. And the whole system was set up. So, of course, you had to find a guy who could hold down a good job and, you know, who was focused and would go to work and you'd stay home with the kids. We don't need that anymore.
Yes, exactly.
So,
I agree.
because
exactly.
that, there's women can go out. They can make their own money. They don't need you for that. And, you know, we have a wide assortment of toys. So a woman
yes.
doesn't actually need you for other situations
it's really
either.
True. No, it's true.
So women in their 20s see it more
right.
practically. And
exactly.
they are just more about what guys want, which is... They want somebody to keep them warm for that night and then kick
right.
them out of bed the next
right.
day.
Right.
Please don't stay the night. And you know, but are still kind of hoping to find the one.
Right, exactly. That special
And that's
guy.
Universal. So
right.
it's a man or a woman. And then you have your women in your 30s.
Right.
Who unfortunately are trapped.
Yes.
they were
they
the
feel in they, between.
They were the ones who, you know, made all of this happen.
Right,
and so
right,
they're the
exactly.
girls who said, "You know what? I want to focus on my career."
Right.
And now
right.
we know, you know, an infinite amount of women who are 35
oh,
to
yeah.
40 who don't have a husband, who want to have children and realize that they missed the boat and are now kind of scrambling to make it up. And that's unfortunate. They're the ones who got stuck in between. So
exactly.
And yep. interestingly, they're the ones who are in between. So you can't really play it like the old playbook, and you can't play it by the new playbook.
No, it's really true. It's a large group of my clients are women in their 30s and early 40s who did. I mean, they went full out for their career. And they're like looking around, and some of their friends are married and have kids. They're going, oh my God, what did I do wrong? And oh, I'm getting old. I'm saying, give me a break.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I can't find any quality men. They're going to be all older because they want women in their 20s. And it's really, you know, it's sad to hear. I'm the always optimist. I'm like, here's what you should do. Here's what you should, you know, go to a special. If you don't feel good about yourself, get yourself in great shape. Find a place or an interest group that you like to, if there's something that you really dig, you want to connect with some guy. You don't want to just hook up with some guy at a bar and the endless LA club scene, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
really not healthy either. It's, you know, I mean, some people, I have a couple who actually are doing really quite well. They met in a club and they were, you know, both pretty inebriated. And they looked really good to each other at the time.
Uh-huh.
And they actually still look good to each other sober. So, I mean, you know, it's a tough scene. It's really a tough scene. But you worked primarily with the guys. I mean, the show was about helping guys how
mm-hmm.
to get their acts together so they could meet women and, you know, look better, how to approach them, the body language, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that was most interesting is
yeah.
that I learned a lot from them of what we had a dating do or dating don't
uh-huh.
segment.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say 70%
yes.
of the answers were do be a gentleman. And you would think that's such
yeah.
common sense. And every woman had a horror story. I
yes.
mean, and it goes beyond. So I would say if you're out there, be a gentleman.
Yes.
Because that's going to score you points way beyond what you expect. And women kind of come in with a, like, you know, there's sort of a zero line, right?
Yeah, right.
And if you come in and you're a gentleman, she's going to be like, oh, and yet maybe only will get you like a 3 or a 5,
right.
you know, on like
right.
a 100 scale. But the
right.
fact is, if you don't do that,
yes.
you just shot down
you're
to a
done.
Negative 20,
that's
maybe
it.
A 25. And it's so easy for her to be mildly impressed
right.
by the fact that you pulled out her chair or you opened a door. And
yes.
guys are always like, I didn't think women want you to do that. Yes. I
yeah,
never had
I think
one
so.
Woman who didn't
exactly.
want you to do that. Very independent women, women who would be considered feminists.
Right.
We still want you to open the door. And by the way, we still want you to pay for dinner. And and
yeah,
we
at least on the first couple of dates, you know?
For sure. I mean,
yeah.
that's expected. And I
yeah.
talked to so many women. Again, these are more women in their 20s.
Because right,
I think
right.
guys, or then younger guys, are compensating
right.
for these women who make
exactly.
their own money.
Right.
And so the guy would ask the girl on the date. They get to the date, and the guy not only doesn't pay, I've heard stories where he pushes the bill toward her. I've heard
oh,
where
God.
She did a courtesy credit card on the table. Because, you know, we all do the
sure.
fake purse grab.
Right,
it's polite.
Exactly. It's polite.
The fake purse grab is polite.
That's right. It really is.
It's like, I'm
waiting
for
them to cut. Exactly.
I'm going to pretend to pay, but you are going to be a gentleman and not allow me to.
That's right.
That's the understood game.
And exactly.
If you stray from this, then someone's offended.
Someone's going to be very offended. So
she put the credit card on, and the guy took the credit card and the bill as the waiter came up and handed it to him as if he was paying.
Oh, my God. That's really... that's scary. That's a bad one. I've never had that one. But
it happens every day. Somewhere.
It does happen.
And so you think that's just a starting point. Mm-hmm, just be a gentleman, and she'll be amazingly impressed by that.
I think that's good. I think from the get-go, when you first meet somebody and you're going to meet in a restaurant or you're going to meet somewhere, I think it's sort of cool to already work it out and just say, hey, why don't we go halves? Or, hey, I'm a little short of cash now. I don't want to go to, even beforehand, I didn't want to go to a really expensive place because I'm a little short of cash. Sometimes if guys and or women put that out there, then it's kind of known. But I do still think the old school kind of theory that the guy needs to initiate that is really important.
I'm going to take care of you.
Right.
Because we still have, as women, that feeling of wanting a guy who can protect us, who's going to take care of us. That doesn't mean that we're going to instantly, if we get married, quit our jobs and sit on the couch.
I think a lot of guys fear that, too. Oh, God, what if she... But no, it's hardwired. It's hardwired. The old brain is still there. And that's why we're physiologically different, and our brain... Women use what? Twice as more brain cells on the right side of their brain because they're communicators and they're emotional, they're verbal, So, it's just hardwired the way we are. We look at men to protect us. No, and there are a lot of women out there, you may have seen, too, who are equal. They're hardcore feminists and they're equal, don't you even think about... I've seen women just go, I'm not okay with you opening the door. I mean, that's rare. But I've seen some women doing that. I'll get it myself.
I would think that you're going to get a sense of that before you go on the date with the girl.
Yes.
And if it's really a concern, say, do you mind if I get the door for you?
Yeah.
Because you know what move I love?
Yeah.
I love when a guy orders the food for me. Love it.
Do you like that?
But if you and it makes me feel kind of like, oh, he knows what he's doing. It's a chance for him to be knowledgeable and sort of in his arena. And I like that. And especially when I go to sushi. I don't know how to order sushi. I love it. I have no idea. Or Thai. I don't know. Just get me something yummy.
Right.
But again, if you don't know, you could say, do you mind, what kind of food do you like?
Right.
While you're looking at the menu. And then you say, do you mind if I order for you?
Right.
And then
that's
she'll be like, I can order my own food.
Yeah.
And then, okay, now
that's
you know.
Cool. Now you know. If she's a vegetarian and you're into the steak, okay, that's all good.
That's a good question to ask before you plan a date.
That's a very good question.
Actually, the guy I'm married to now, our first date, he took me to an Italian restaurant.
Yes.
Okay, you think, I can't eat cheese.
Okay.
And I actually don't like Italian.
There you go.
He didn't ask.
Aww.
He just sort of set it up. So
right.
You may before you plan the date. Luckily, I was bored and I didn't have a lot going on, so I went out on a couple more dates with him and it turned out he was wonderful.
He is wonderful. He's really cute. God, your husband is so hot. Anyway.
Thank you.
But, no, he is a gentleman.
I know.
Really
we just took a moment to think about my husband, didn't we?
We did. Let's think about him.
Okay.
Now, moving on. You're also a film critic, too. I mean, you've been doing film critique shows.
Yeah,
I'm a
film critic in family films and then also do film analysis within the industry.
Yeah, okay. And, we were just talking about the you just went to see The Ugly Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that
which opens today.
Right, it does. So what did you think of that last night?
Well, I think that there is much more. If you're looking for truth in relationships,
yes.
I mean, it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's not particularly truthful, as you might hope. The guy is sort of a Tom Likas, Howard Stern combo, blowhard, kind of mean about women, and women need to do this, and if you can't get a guy, you're ugly.
Ridiculous
things. The girl's uptight.
Yes.
And can't get a man, and because she can't get beyond herself and the fact that she's a control freak. And it kind of explores that. It's a fun movie. I think you can find more truth in shows like Tough Love, that's on VH1 with Steve Ward.
Right.
He is, for women,
yes,
very honest and right on.
Exactly.
And so when I hear him say the things and he proves it on his show, like I know from doing my show
yes.
that he's speaking exactly. the truth. Yes. Yes. And it's effective.
It's a lot more realistic with relationships and how men are and what who women are. But, of course, The Ugly Truth is entertainment. And mm-hmm. it's a movie. But it's fun and it's lighthearted. And it probably ends up really interesting in the end anyway. So right. we don't want to tell everybody the end.
No, in fact, I would say the truth lies in the ending, actually.
Cool.
So when you see it, keep that in mind. But one thing as he's doing, at some point they get into an experiment where she has like the perfect guy and yeah. he says, all right, you follow what I say. They
right,
have a
right.
bet going.
Right.
So she does, and that's kind of where it starts to get funny. But one of the things he starts out with is the way you dress. And I think this is something women overlook. They think they dress comfortably and they may dress... Okay, you see this less in L.A. But
that's
in
really
the rest
true.
Of the country...
That's really true.
You know, they may go to Ann Taylor and get some cute little Ann Taylor clothes. Ann Taylor, overall, not sexy.
No,
you know?
Very conservative.
And I'm wearing Ann Taylor maybe right now.
No, that's cute. That's a cute
because
top.
I'm dressing
it's
for
light
you.
Blue. That's right.
In the office.
That's it.
But no, yeah. you know, and it, I mean, I think the bottom line is, yeah, jack up your boobs... wear something that is figure flattering.
Right.
Guys dig
sexy.
High heels.
That's right.
And that's a fact.
It's about sexy. It's about hardwired.
You can be, you have to start off the packaging, and that goes for guys too.
Right.
So, you know what? Don't order the garlic or the cheesy fondue on your first date if you want to make out with her at the end of the date.
Yeah. Or you better bring a lot of mints,
I was on yeah. a date with this guy, yeah. and he was ordering the garlic and onion cheese soup or something, like
yes.
something with every ingredient that was just going to go wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, can I just kiss you now and get it over with?
right.
because
right.
I'm not kissing you later. And
right.
he ordered something else. But
that's real. What?
But most girls are not going to say that.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I'm amazed at how oblivious guys are to breath. You know, I mean, you think about the cheesy idea of the guy who's, you know, sees the girl and he sprays, you know, spray in his mouth with something. But overall, guys will be like, yeah, I'll have the giant Angus hamburger with
yes.
extra garlic sauce
yes.
and the garlic french fries.
My husband is one of those. He's a banker. Okay. That's all I have to say, right? The serious, the take charge kind of guy. And occasionally he has a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
With the guys.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he doesn't understand when I go, whoa, he comes home. And for me, it's the Cuba thing with the cigar is not working with the breath. It's just my thing.
I don't know any woman who it would work. Even
and
if you
goes,
smoke cigars as a woman, I don't think you'd be okay with that.
I tried that in my 30s. I was doing that. And then I went, no, this isn't going to work. It's not attractive and it's really not fun. But hey, I did it once. But anyway, so, you know, it's so funny. It's a typical guy thing. And I go, here's your little mint. I have little mints. And he goes, okay. So we have agreed. So if he does this thing, we have little mints right there by the breakfast bar. You know, I go, here you go.
And that works.
He'll chew it. It works. And it's a great thing. It's called, we both understand.
It works because you're married.
There you go.
If you were at the beginning, you're going to be embarrassed. You're not
going
to say, hey,
hello.
Can you have some? No, because you're
exactly.
not at that point yet.
Exactly. So,
but right. I would say with the packaging as well, you know, it goes the other way. So you're like, of course, you have to look good to get a girl. Of course. And a woman,
of
you
course.
Think, would know these things.
Right.
But on the other hand, you can be overstyled as a guy. And I think this is especially true in L.A. Women who have lived here more than a year.
Right.
If the guy has more gel in his hair than you do, if
yes,
he is
exactly.
wearing, you know, if he's too styled,
right.
you're going to run because it means he's an actor or a musician.
That's right.
And you know, nothing good is going to come of it.
And this is such an LA thing. Everybody out there listening in other cities and other parts of the world, it's such an LA thing. We talk about this a lot. It's true.
Yeah.
There's so many metrosexuals, guys here who are really, you know, they're all about really styling. And it is kind of a, you do. You
it's
go,
a turn
okay,
off.
wait a minute. Mm-mm. There is something to that kind of more rugged, manly, less styled thing, but
yeah.
not too nasty, not too much BO. I mean, you and I were laughing about this earlier, you know.
Most guys,
B-O.
Most
groom,
girls.
Wash
yes.
your hair, wear nice clothes that are hip-looking, take care of your body.
But not too hip-looking.
And not too hip-looking. God, are we terrible?
We are. It's very precise.
Take really, really good care of your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, that's like we're not, you know, we're here in America. You know, we have.
Right.
And it's such an important thing to really, you know, guys can do so much these days, too. Women can do everything, absolutely anything and everything with makeup and hair color and clothes and and push-up bras. We can do everything, but guys really have to get someone sometimes to help them get looking better, you mm-hmm. know. So it's true. So, but I wanted to talk also about some of the things that you experienced while you were doing the show.
Yeah,
and some of the most. You know, the guys that were, we talked about the gentlemen and, you know, what to do and how, some of the most bizarre things maybe that you experienced from seeing guys who approached women. What were some of the most really awkward or uncomfortable that guys thought were okay? What were maybe some of the activities? What I've seen, and I'll just tell you some of the things, what I've heard, mm-hmm. you know, and some of the clients who come in. One of the most common things I see with guys who are single and they want to, you know, get meeting women and all that, is that they feel that they have to relax. So they drink too much mm-hmm. or they get a little high, you know, and they don't realize how they come off if they're going to a club or if they're going, you know, to a party or they get a little, and if women go there to meet them, they don't understand that women want to talk to them mm-hmm. and they don't want some guy who's just a little bit over and not really going to be himself because he's high mm-hmm. or he's not with it. So they're like not getting a good, you know, he's casual and he's funny and all that, but they're not getting the real deal sometimes. So this is,
well,
this
women
is
are just as guilty of doing that as well. I'm guilty of doing, like, I would drink too much to be comfortable. So, but yeah,
we are.
It's a bad move.
We really are. And, but I don't know. I think, I don't know. I've just seen a lot more guys, you know, do that because they want to feel more comfortable. I think sometimes women are just kind of show up and see because they're looking for guys who are going to keep it real with them.
I think the best, the number one thing that came from women is guys who are confident. More mm-hmm. than, you hear yeah. girls want guys to be funny.
Yes.
They do. Not everybody's funny. By the way, funny doesn't necessarily mean you're a stand-up comic.
No.
It means that you guys can find things to laugh about
exactly.
together, which
exactly.
is you can find in life. So you don't need to be too worried about that, but confidence. If you are a confident guy,
yes.
you can overcome anything. The way
yes.
you look, you know, maybe the way you smell.
and
your personality. Like a lot of that can be overcome by confidence. But again, being that it's this very precise road, if you're cocky, that's a turnoff. And so, what I would see is the guys trying to find the right level of being respectful,
right.
And being assertive, not too cocky, not too aggressive.
Right, right.
But, you know, but really it's, and the thing women say is just be yourself. And you're like, oh, of course, that's
right.
such a load.
Right.
But it's not. It's just coming up confidently.
Right.
And believing that you have something to offer this girl. And
exactly.
and I've seen girls be really terrible to guys and say mean, awful things.
Yeah, they have.
And
yeah.
And if that is how she's treating you in your first
yes.
interaction, you can thank God
yes.
that you know now so you don't waste any money on a drink
forewarned.
For her.
Exactly.
That you don't go on a date with
right.
her because she is not for you.
Exactly.
Be relieved that she showed her true colors then and there. And, you know, I think it's interesting, too, though. I've learned that women who are gold diggers usually are not shy about revealing that they're gold diggers. So if you're worried about that, I would say for guys, don't ever act like you have a lot of money. Don't come up. If you have a Ferrari, leave it at home.
That's right.
And
that's
just
right.
go
bring,
out and be your regular.
Bring the other car or bring whatever. You know, exactly.
There are guys out there for gold diggers, and those are the guys looking for trophy wives. And
right.
they will find each other.
Sure they will. No, they will. They will. They'll find, hey, have I got a girl for you? And I mean, it's very easy. So
don't go flaunting your money.
Here.
This one girl said that she was on a date with this guy, and he takes a phone call at some point and says something about, well, you know, at the table, by the way, which is the biggest dating don't even answer your
right.
phone when you're on a date. Don't
right.
look at it the whole time. Just
exactly.
set it aside.
Don't freaking text, dude.
But he takes yeah. time during this date to answer the phone and then manages to say something about, oh, well, my portfolio is up to $5 million or something.
Oh, my God. How embarrassing.
Because women can see through that.
Of course.
Even if you have a portfolio worth $5 million, you don't need to be mentioning that on the first, second, third date.
You know what? I think that's really true. And one of the things that I hear all the time is guys say to me, "I just don't know how to impress her. I have a guy who used to come in to see me, so I can talk about him now because he doesn't come anymore. But he's all better now. maybe. Anyway, he was a pathological liar. And he admitted it. And he would come in and kind of represent to me his life. He's in his late 20s and he'd represent to me all these things in his life that he'd done. And my first thought was, you know, and being very wealthy and knowing in Los Angeles, you know, being right in the center of entertainment and knowing all these, you know, A-list people and what he'd done. And I'm just kind of looking, because for some reason he needed for me to think he was okay. Mm-hmm. And I get that. But right on the phone, he started saying, you know, I have a lot of issues. I have to work out some things. But he started negotiating the price of psychotherapy, of what he was going to pay. He didn't have insurance. Uh-huh. And he wanted to pay cash, which was a heads up, because he didn't want someone to know who may have been on his policy, or he didn't have anything. And it doesn't matter if you don't have insurance. I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's negotiating, hard negotiating the cash that he's going to pay me for 1 hour of psychotherapy. And then he gets in there and he starts bragging about all the money he has. And what he, and I'm thinking, I don't know if this is a for real thing. Uh-huh. I really don't know. And I started analyzing it. And to come to find out, after about 5 months of therapy, he'd slowly, revealed and untangled a lot of the lies and said, I'm really insecure. My job isn't all that great. I haven't had that many relationships. My parents told me I was horrible growing up. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I'm unattractive. And all this stuff came out that he was trying to buff himself up just to, you know, kind of fulfill all that old stuff so he could survive, basically. It was a survival mechanism. And I think a lot of people do that, men and women, you know, because, and this is, we're going psychological here, but based on old messages that we got about who we are, which usually wasn't enough to whoever our caregivers were or our friends, not friends, bullies in school, mean people who made fun of us, you know, whatever we may have had at the time. We have compensated, and here we are. Now we're adults, and we're looking for those great relationships, and we still have all these old hang-ups about the messages we think we are, which is not enough. We're not bright enough. We're not educated. We're not pretty good-looking. You know, all that stuff. And so we're working from, oh, God, especially in L.A., I'm going to have to build myself up to be the most, you know, unbelievable guy or lady so that I'm going to be so desirable. And this is something that I see a lot, but you know, it's just it's about making yourself something that you're really, really not and that you can't live up to. And I think for women, very attractive men are for real guys, not guys that because they're going to later find out if they get to know you, they're going to find out that you're making up stories or that you don't really have that job or you didn't really go to Cambridge mm-hmm. or Harvard. You didn't really have that law degree.
But, you know, at the end of the day, if you got a girl based on that, based on a lie, it's not going to make you feel any better.
Right.
It's like playing a board game and cheating.
Exactly.
If you win, it doesn't actually feel good.
Yes, because when you want a real intimate relationship with someone on a long-term basis, it's all about truth and trust. And you know, what are we based on here? So just kind of an interesting thing that I see a lot with people who feel that they have to, you know, fabricate a lot about their lives before they're going out there because it's just not enough ever. And in LA too, there's a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many good-looking people out there. There's so many bright people, independent, hardworking, successful people out there, men and women. So it's a tough place to be, you know, sometimes to try. I have a girlfriend who was a doctorate. She got her PhD in nutrition, and she lived in LA for years. We lived in San Francisco together. We were roommates, and she came here and was looking for a guy. She was doing her thing. She worked for a hospital, successful, bright, pretty, and she left. She said, I'm going, where did she, she went to Kentucky, Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
One of her girlfriends lived there, and she said, there are so many cute guys in Louisville, Kentucky. It's such a cool city. She went to visit her, and she just said, I'm moving.
I've known women who've left L.A. to find a guy, just to get married. Like, I want to find a guy. I can't find him. I'm moving to Arizona. I'm moving to wherever I could still work. Yeah. But I'll tell you where don't move if you're a woman and you're looking for a guy. On the other hand, if you're a guy looking for a woman, this is where you should move, is Nashville. I used to live in Nashville because you have the same thing as LA where you have all these unemployed, aspiring musicians. But I'll tell you, most of them are men, more men than women.
Right, right.
And so for a guy, if you can't find a woman, Nashville's got so many amazing, beautiful, you know, financially independent women who are looking for a guy of substance. And got, you know, but on the other hand, if you're a woman, don't move there if you're single.
It's true.
I've never met really so true. Many women supporting their husbands as in Nashville.
That is so funny. That's interesting. I love that city. I love visiting Nashville. Is that what you call it when you live there? Nashville.
I call it Nashville. Okay, but I'm, you know, I don't have an accent. Yeah. So.
But you know what else I like, though, is I like the Southern I like the Southern, and it really does. It's a stereotype, I know, but there still is a gentle, mellow, friendlier, kinder groove about the South. There really is. It's guys, too. And if they have an accent, it's really sexy.
Oh, it is.
You know?
And well, girls, it depends.
Girls can get away with it. You know, girls are just, forget about it. Guys love girls who have Southern accents.
The gentle Southern accent,
right.
Not the East Texas
right,
accent.
Right, not Gomer.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. And I lived in Texas. East Texas is like, sounds dumbass, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The South sounds lilting and beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It really does. Anyway. Well, now, I have lots of questions that I receive from folks who write me online here for the show. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you just tuned in, this is LA Talk Radio, and I'm Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. You can find me at my website if you'd like. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy, drmichelletherapy.com, and it's abbreviated. It's Dr. Michelle with two L's therapy. And also write me, as many people have, and I'm going to be reading from some of your questions on my email address, which is docmichelle, docmichelle, at aol.com. And my guest co-host is Tara McNamara. Of course, she's just wrapped up 3 years of hosting relationship shows for the Playboy Radio Network. And guys, she's beautiful. She's taken. She's married. Sorry. But she's not only beautiful, as most of the women are who work for Playboy, but she's really intelligent. She's an excellent broadcaster, as you can tell as well. So
I feel like I have to interject to say thank you.
You're welcome. It's true, though. And she's the real deal, though, too. She's got a great heart. She's a sweetheart. So she's got all the great packages. And, you know, and hopefully you've checked out her show, because, I mean, that was such a fun show.
Thank you.
It was really hot. And it really helped out a lot. It was good entertainment, too.
It was fun. It was a fun 3 years.
So what we're talking about are some of the emails that people wrote me. And I'm going to answer. These are all about people who have relationship problems. And we were just talking about women and men who don't know how to deal with, you know, getting people to like them. And I have a slew of them. So let me just start reading them, and we can just shoot from the hip here.
Sounds great.
This is from a guy. Doesn't say. But it says, unknown male with issues. Dear Dr. Michelle, what does it mean when members of the opposite sex don't approach me? Oh, God. When I go out to clubs and parties, and I'm out there trying to meet women. What does it mean when they don't approach me? And that's all the information I got. So.
Okay. Well, one, let's look at the packaging. But two, you should be approaching them.
Thank you. Get off your butt.
Yeah. I mean, that's another new mentality where, all right, women are financially independent. They're doing their thing. They can come to me. No, we still expect you to do the work.
Exactly.
If you can't get up and talk to us, what does that mean for anything else?
Exactly. You have no social skills, and who wants to be with someone who doesn't have the chutzpah to go out there and talk? So don't waste time sitting around and waiting for someone to come out or up to you, because life is too short.
Mm-hmm.
You see somebody who's, you know, and I think it's fear of rejection. I think it's fear, ooh, she's hot. She'll never want me to come up to her.
And then that's the lack of confidence that they'll read into. Just go up, hi, have you been here before? You don't have to say, do you come here often? Don't say that. But you could just talk about whatever. If you're at a party, how do you know the host?
Exactly.
And then there you have a conversation going. And if she rolls her eyes and walks away, you didn't want her anyway.
That's exactly right. And there are, you know, don't come off with any really turn off or corny hit lines. Don't do it. I mean, you can come off with, you know, women love to hear that they're attractive. Women love to hear that their eyes are beautiful.
Oh, now I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
Because this is the thing. When it comes to talking to a woman, I would not open with, you are so beautiful. Because there's nowhere for that to go. Girls go, thank you, and then
bye-bye.
Walk away. There's nowhere for it to go. And it makes them feel... Yeah. See, the stupid thing is that women want you to think they're beautiful.
That's
they
right.
want you to chase them. They want you to do the work. But if you open with, you are so beautiful, and you lay all your cards out,
right.
it doesn't work. You have to come in and just start talking to them. By talking to them, you're... And then at the end, then you
yes.
can say... I'm just having a great conversation with you, and
yes.
you're beautiful. I would love to take you out sometime. Can I get your number?
Yes.
Now you've gotten through all the hard parts. You have her phone number, and you have a date.
That's right.
You got it all in 10 minutes.
You made conversation. Exactly. And then right, like that dating show on TV where the relationship specialist teaches the guys how to go up to clubs and talk to women and like that. So it's true. It really is true. Approach them, with style as a man, but, come off really real and make some kind of interesting conversation at the beginning, right?
And if you don't think right. that they're going to like you, why would you date you? You have to figure out why would you date you first. if you wouldn't date you, then no other girl's going to want you either. You've got to work that
well,
out.
Well, that's exactly right. And here, this leads me to something that is kind of glaring to me, but I'll take any and every question. At DocMichelle@AOL.com. I really will. So here we go. What does it mean when most of my dates never get past the first one? And again, this is a guy. What does it mean when most of my dates never get past the first one?
I assume that he means, does that mean that he doesn't want to go on a second date or they won't go on a second date with
him? What I'm getting from this is, maybe I'm assuming wrong, and we can approach it from both, ways. But what I'm getting from this is that he just doesn't really feel that women are wanting to go out with him again. That's what I'm feeling.
So on the first date, you want to have it set up so that you guys can talk. The whole dinner, I would never do dinner and a movie for a first date. But dinner and something fun and different.
Right, right, right.
And if she doesn't like what's fun and different, a backup fun and different.
Yeah, exactly.
Backup plan.
Yes.
But you should definitely open with by talking and having some way to have a conversation. And you should just be ready to ask her questions.
Because
the more she talks about herself, the more she's going to like you. The more interested you are. And if you were to actually take something she said.
Right.
And if she said something like, I just really love roller skating. And then, I know where there's the next date. I know where there's a roller skating rink. Do you want to go? If you were to make it come around full circle and somehow do something that she said and work it in.
Yes.
Now you're in for life.
Totally. Because you've heard her. You're listening to her. She's, he really heard me. He's really interested in what I'm interested in. And even if he's like hardly ever roller skating, he thinks he's going to make a fool of himself. He's at least heard her and stuff like that. So,
I mean, that it seems, again, I'm not saying it's fair, but if you talk the whole time,
oh God,
she's going to want to move on. She's going to think you're not interested in her. But if you listen to her the whole time, she'll think that you're really,
it's really true.
That you guys have bonded.
That's right. And that's how women are. And that's just a really good tip for guys too. And, do contribute, do be a little open. And also,
if you're bored by what she's saying, by the way, then you don't really want to go out with her again.
No.
Then it's not a match.
This is no bearing on me. She's dramatic. I'm not interested in her boring friends or opinions on life.
But
so,
it's better for you to be the one to be like, I'm not interested, than for them not to be interested in going out with you a second time.
It is. It is. And, so you don't have to continue it on. And something else, guys and ladies, please do not talk too much. Do not reveal too much about yourself. Do not lay out all the relationships or much of the relationships. If you've been married, sure, mention that. But other than that, other thing, do not reveal problems you're having, issues. Keep it cool and just get general. Pretend like you're talking to someone who you've just met in a video store. You're just revealing information and just saying, hey, I experienced that or whatever. Always ask a question. When you say a comment, this is one of my suggestions, is how do you feel about that? Have you ever done that too? Or have you ever, no? So he'll go, no. Cool. So what did you feel? Do you think that's weird what I just said? Starting a conversation, asking questions is always really cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get feedback and then, So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. My dates never get past the first one. Also, if you can detect, I'm talking to you now, guy who wrote me. If you can detect maybe the moment it started feeling awkward, to you. Maybe you can go, maybe he's clueless, but maybe you can go back to that moment when it started feeling awkward and envision. When I said this, her face changed. And note maybe what you might have said or something you might have done that turned her off.
Women are great at the icy stare.
Oh, yeah.
So when that icy stare occurs, that's your signal that you just said something wrong.
Exactly. Like, huh?
You said something that offended her.
Exactly. You said something that or turned her off or something. And note that this may be something that you're doing on an ongoing basis. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but you need to change it up a little bit. Change up your conversation. Change up what
well,
you're
you know, women are easily offended. We did have a on the show that I used to host, Playdate, we had a game where a guy had to get through five sentences without offending a woman. That game was the game least likely for someone to win.
That is
we would
funny.
Have we would go and never have a winner so often. Women
Isn't
are
that
easily
funny?
Offended. And
yes.
So think about that in a bigger one what you say. Like don't mention you're hunting on the first date because most
right.
women not all, but most will be like, oh. Like, we want you to be manly, but we don't want you to kill animals.
You kill Bambi. Yeah, exactly.
We want to know you can protect us,
right.
but that you're not going to, like,
exactly.
see a bird flying in the air and instead of looking at its beauty, thinking about, you know, if you could hit it. That's just how
exactly
women are.
True. Yeah, it's really true.
On the other hand, women are also, and actually not on the other hand, to further the point, women are also easily disgusted. So women find things gross that you and your friends do all the time. I have heard from a lot of women about when they'd be on a date and a guy would pick his teeth at the table.
Ew.
I've heard pick his teeth with a fork. I've
no.
heard stick his finger. I've seen that. I've seen guys, like, not
yeah.
consciously. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they
yeah.
had some corn on the cob.
Right.
They stick their finger back there and they're, like, trying to get it out because, you know, the tongue isn't pulling it out.
Thank you. Ew. Can you imagine that? That sitting
I've
across
seen
the table.
It.
That's gross.
They do it without even thinking about it.
I used
girls
to date this guy,
easily
too.
Grossed out.
They are. I used to date this guy that after dinner, he would take, and I just overlooked it and thought it was kind of funny, and maybe it was just he wanted to be like his best or a grooming thing, but he used to take his napkin and almost brush his teeth after the meal was done. And he'd just go, he'd put his finger, grab it, and he'd go, dur, 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 and he'd like brush, you know, with his neck, and he'd really, and he'd drink water, and I'd look at him like, all righty then, that's really nice to do in a public place in front of me.
That's why God put
yeah.
bathrooms in restaurants.
Yes.
So you can
get
go
up,
do that privately.
You swish your mouth, you take that, yeah, exactly. But it was kind of funny. I don't know, subliminally. Now, here I go, psychologically. Maybe he was showing me, I groom myself. See?
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I don't want to watch this.
Oh, really I'll don't. Just tell you one little.
Yes.
The first little away trip
yes.
that I took with my now husband, I saw him pull out floss, and I was like, oh.
Wow.
I don't even floss all the
dude
time.
Does floss. I'm
wow.
impressed.
It's cord meat.
Is that
points.
Like, yes.
I mean, you don't even have to see them actually flossing. If floss were just laid out.
That's
oh,
it.
And here's another thing.
Yes.
Guys often don't have soap dispensers
right?
by their bathroom sink,
yes.
which is so gross.
Yeah,
women
I don't know what's that about.
Because
yeah.
guys, I think, don't feel like if they are urinating and they're not touching anything, they don't need to wash their hands. Girls don't care.
That's true.
We don't care. You need to wash your hands.
Yes.
And so you need to, if you're ever going to have a woman in your place, even if she's a friend that maybe down the road you want to work into
right.
a relationship
right.
or a one-night stand
exactly.
or something, friends with benefits, you got to just put the soap dispenser. And also, women don't like bars of soap. They like pumps.
Yes, they
okay?
do.
So these are just fun little
bars of soap
side
are gooey and messy and they're boring. It's true. And guys are going, what? Wait
guys
a minute.
Are very into bars
you mean
of soap.
I just can't take the bar out of the shower and slap it on the sink?
No.
Yeah. All right, here's a good question. What does it mean when my boyfriend tells me I'm too kinky? I say, you know what? Sit down and talk to him.
Find a new boyfriend.
Find a new boyfriend. If you're too kinky for him and he's not, that's never going to work if he's always thinking, ew, God, what's she doing? I don't like this. Because there's going to be a whole bunch of guys out there who are going to love what she may be doing.
Women are, in general, dirtier than guys in bed.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys just don't have that much imagination.
I grew up in the Bible Belt, so I'm going to say maybe not there. Maybe
right.
less in that area.
Okay.
But overall,
yes.
I would say, in L.A. where we are, I would say for sure.
Right.
They think about it more. I mean, the fact is, you know, we can get off several times. You got one, you know, shot in
That's
you, generally.
It, usually.
So
it's true. It's true.
So women are thinking, like, how many? And women overthink things. So, of
yes,
course,
we
we're thinking, what different things can we do in bed this time? How can we make this new and fun and different and crazier? And we also really want to turn you on.
Right.
That's part of it for us, right. Is getting you excited and turned on.
That's exactly right.
So if you don't ever tell your girlfriend she's too kinky, because she will go find a guy who can accommodate
that. Exactly. Or sit down and just say, okay, what specifically is freaking you out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what would be okay with you? If you really want to hang on to this guy and really want to keep this guy, then what would be okay with you? Maybe you can modify your stuff, but ask him to ask you to do things that he would like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's just about communication too. But I mean, if he says, "Oh, you're just too kinky," and you're just kind of like, "Excuse me, I'm called creative and interesting and sexy," he may be the wrong guy, because it's going to be an ongoing thing. If you tend to be with each other for years, it's like, what do you? You can't go into the bedroom thinking all the time, or the floor in the kitchen, or the whatever bathroom floor, whatever. You know, oh my God, I better not do that. Who wants to have sex like that? Who wants to have a relationship where you're always having to think it through?
And that's the most damaging thing to women is to make any negative comment on their sexual performance or their bodies.
Yes.
Because if you do that, if you were to give them, there's a difference between giving direction and telling them they're doing something wrong. There's, you know, like, if you go, oh, I really like it when you do that. But if you say, you know, don't use your teeth, maybe there's a way that you could, you know,
don't draw any more blood.
I like
please.
It so much better.
Yes.
When you don't use your teeth. Like,
that's
you
know? Right. Yes, yes, yes. It's all in the approach.
But if you say that, here's what's going to happen. You're not going to feel anything like teeth or lips or anything for at least a year.
Yeah. That's right. Or it's going to be like a complete withdrawal, you say. So you're right. Exactly. Okay, here we go. What does it mean when my boyfriend begins hinting that he'd like to have a threesome?
It means he wants a threesome.
I mean, okay. It means he wants to sleep with another woman. Hello?
Well, that is the number one fantasy for guys.
Exactly.
The problem is it's really dangerous.
Well, it really is dangerous. If you're bringing strangers and or friends,
that's even
into
more
the
dangerous.
Bedroom, that's really very mucky. And, mm-hmm. you know, that can get emotionally, especially if you're really, you know, and women, we are different. We're differently hardwired in the brain. We do get bonded with, and we don't want to be watching another hot woman unless, you know, it's just the moment we're having a good time for that one time. But that usually, if you agree to something like that, it continues.
Mm-hmm.
It'll continue. And there will be other women. And don't ask me how I know this. No. but no, it's true. A lot of people who come in to see me are, I'm saying, and you allowed this to happen, and you're angry with him, and you allowed it to happen?
Well,
you know,
I think, too, that there's often, I think women often are, you know, we want to please our men.
Right.
And so they may do something that they're not really wanting to do. And there's women who want to have threesomes. But
yes.
You know, really gauge her reaction. I don't think there's any harm in saying, hey, what do you think about having a threesome?
Right.
You'll know instantly from the look on her face if she means it or not. And if she's not all in, it will probably destroy your relationship.
Yes.
I think there's a good chance.
I think so. It really, you know, it is.
I mean, haven't you had that moment? Or maybe it's just me. You know,
where you
wake up the next morning and you were, you know, you had too much to drink and you did something crazy and then you're just embarrassed.
Right, right. You're going, oh, what did I do?
If she's not all in,
right,
that's how everyone's going to feel the next day, especially with friends. I think I don't know
it's
how
really
you.
True. No, I mean, it's like, hello, what was that? You know, then. I mean, I've heard guys say something, well, I thought maybe we could involve your friend. You'd feel more comfortable. It's like, no.
The last person I want to have sex with is my best friend.
Thank you. I mean, you know, what do you...
And what's wrong with that is that now you've damaged, just by mentioning her friend,
you've
damaged a relationship, because she's going to think that you're thinking of her best friend every time her best
That's
friend's
right.
around.
Exactly. He's thinking, oh, boy, I'd like to, you know. So who needs that? All right. Hopefully we helped you with that question. Dr. Michelle, what does it mean when a couple asks if we're into swinging? Now, I'm not really laughing at you guys. I mean, these are all legitimate questions.
It's back to the threesome.
There you
go. In this case, a foursome.
Yeah. They want to have sex with a bunch of people. That's what it is. Swinging parties involve swapping partners or orgies.
Mm-hmm.
Orgies is how I used to say. You want to have an orgy? I don't think that'd be a good idea. And some of my clients clowning around with them, and they're looking at me like, why are you making fun of me? I really do want to get into... Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of you. But, I mean, don't do it. you know.
It's just, it's not healthy. It may not be healthy. I mean, there are people who live this lifestyle and it's fine. They are very like-minded about sex and they see it as completely separate from their relationship.
Exactly.
So if you're someone who, you know, and but still, even then, people who do it all the time, they make one misstep. Like, it's okay to have sex when one of them's there and then somebody kind of feels like they have the permission then to have sex another time.
Exactly.
Even with a partner that they had with their, you know, with their spouse. And then, no, now you've just broken the trust.
Exactly.
And now you cheated on them.
No.
Having
exactly.
sex with another person while they were in the room, not cheating, or with their authorization. But, I mean, there's just so many pitfalls.
And, you know, this sounds strange, but, I mean, there still are, you know, groups out there, a lot of, you know, groups out there that, especially in my practice, you know, I hear, because I do a lot of relationship stuff, I hear about stuff and I go, wow, that's amazing. You know, there's still a lot of, when I first moved into this particular area, I found in this lovely suburban, hilly, kind of secluded area where I'm at, though, we moved next door to a couple, older single couple, who has swinger parties. That's what they do. They have a huge pool and they have a jacuzzi and they have live bands and they keep it really mellow. It's all high fortress, you mm-hmm. know, nobody can see, you know, and this and that. There's 60 cars up and down. They pay, actually. Mm-hmm. These couples pay to come in and have these things. And I went, wow, these are really happening, you know.
Yeah.
And if they're our next door neighbors, it'd be like Saturday nights, every other Saturday night or something, and there's music and people and wonder, you know, noises coming from the backyard and, you know, I'm going, get the kids in the house, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it was amazing that there were so many people involved in that. That was just a little side story. I thought I'd share that with you.
I've lived all over the country, including Miami, and have never lived anywhere where if there was a party and there was a pool, people are going to be naked in the pool. Like,
yeah.
That's just the rule of thumb
in
LA.
It just happens in LA,
there will be
exactly.
naked people by the end of the night.
It's really true. It's just, you know, and people listening, and I do. I get these emails from people all over the country and the world, for that matter. I got a call last week from a person in Japan, you know. And it was like, I can't believe, you know, all the things that I see in the media and all the things that I hear. It's really true about you Hollywood people. It's like, excuse me, I'm not you Hollywood people.
But yes, it's true.
We do. It's true. I mean, you know, someone coming in, it's like, you know, you want to experience a culture shock and you're not living here in this area or you're from the Midwest or the South in this country. Come on down to L.A. and you will find that there really is a different culture, really different culture here.
Taking your clothes off and getting in someone's pool at a party, it's a rite of passage, really.
Yeah. Yeah. But something you and I have not done, unless it's around our significant others, and we're only with them and not swinger parties. Anyway, right. Anyway, it's almost time for us to wrap.
Oh, wow.
Already, wow. This time has gone so fast. But thank you. Tara, thank you so much for being here. It's so fun to connect with you and be with you live in person again.
I know. This is really fun.
It's
thank
really
you.
It's nice having you. And if again, it's LA Talk Radio. This is On the Couch. This is your Dr. Michelle, friendly psychologist. And, of course, I've been talking with Tara McNamara, the host of Playboy's relationship shows for 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to have you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Hey, listen, it's about time. We're going to go. Where's my music? Hit the music. Yeah, there it is. All right. Listen, I'll be here. You can download my shows. If you want to find me, you can do so at drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. Or write me. I'd love to hear from you. And you can stay on the couch if you'd like. It's cool. Sit back and relax because we have more entertaining shows coming up next on LA Talk Radio. And I'll be back live next Friday at 11. Otherwise, find out all about yourself on the download. Bye-bye.